Thank you for being with us today. We're all in this together. Jay keeping us on the air. Got Drapes in San Francisco getting ready for his TV duties. And Drapes, how many times this year have you and I, before a Kings game, how many times have we said, well, you know what? It's like a must-win game. Maybe it's only January, but it's like a must-win game. Oh, they got to win tonight. It's only March, but it's a must-win game. Well, a few games left. Well, tonight, this is it. Second time this week. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling like we can shock the world tonight, if you will. I see my guy Jay behind the boards has already got his game face on with the music and everything. We coming down to New Orleans and taking over. So I'm feeling great, man. It's optimism. Even down here in the NBC Sports building, there's a buzz. People are wearing Kings jerseys.
Really?
I've never seen that. I'm like, what? People are actually wearing Kings jerseys here in San Francisco. We about to represent for Northern California tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a couple days ago, when we found out that Zion was out, Jay and I got really excited, right? And you said, hey, hold on, guys. You were trying to be, you know, pragmatic. Well, how about this? Draymond Green says, quote, without Zion, I think the Kings should win that pretty easily. No game at that magnitude is ever easy. Kings beat us pretty easily. I'm sure they didn't feel like it was easy. It's max effort. So take what I say with a grain of salt, but I think the Kings go in. They have the experience. They came on the road here last year during the playoffs, won a game. They have the experience. I think they go and win that game.
Draymond Green! Sacramento, where
you at? Easily! They win that game easily!
Hopefully he's not the Charles Barkley, the new incarnation of Charles Barkley. But I'm glad Draymond said that, because as much as we hate the Warriors, you know, we don't like them. We understand that. This is for Northern California here. We're trying to represent here. We need Warriors fans on our side tonight. We need Lakers fans. Maybe not Lakers fans,
don't
but we
them.
Need Warriors fans on our side tonight because we're representing for Northern California.
Yeah, and Draymond makes, not only does he just give his opinion, he makes, as he's capable of doing, some really cogent basketball points. He says if the Kings' defense is flying around the way it was flying around against us, no Zion, that's Zion's 24 points that he averages on the floor, but that's like 50 to 55 points with his impact with people shrinking and them getting threes and the pressure he puts on the rim. The defense is collapsing and you get a swing. That's a huge loss. And they're not going to be able to overcome that in Draymond Green's opinion. Let's go. Let's start the game now.
We're starting this show.
Let's go.
I don't know whether to feel excited and happy about that or not. Like, if Steph Curry said that, I'd be like, okay, Steph. But it's Draymond Green, man. How many times has he been wrong in his life, you know, with his takes and everything? But, hey, man, I hope it comes to fruition. I like his positivity. And that's the key, Whitey. He said if the Kings play like they did the other night against the Warriors, that's the mindset they got to have tonight out there against this Pelicans team. And I listened to some of the shoot-around audio today and from Domas and some of the guys – and they sound like they have the right mindset going into tonight's game.
Mm-hmm. That's all you can hope for. The cool thing about what Draymond said, and of course you're right, like Draymond Green, what does he know? Even he said, take it with a grain of salt. But the things that he used to explain his feelings, you know, those make sense. And if you're a Kings fan and you're looking at this series and you're obviously aware of the fact that, boy, they've beaten the Kings like a drum this year. But for Draymond to say, okay, yeah, but Zion being out, that's his points plus. It affects their entire offense. It just gives you, even if you're a real pessimistic Kings fan, which Kings fans have learned to be over the years in some cases, I mean, that gives you a real little boost of, wow, yeah, there's a great chance. A lot of the things that applied to the past games don't apply to this game necessarily, so that's good.
Yeah, and the fact that, let's be honest, Kings fans, no excuses tonight.
Right.
Like, you know, they're down without Zion. They've beaten you five times. You know, if they come out and win, it would leave a bad taste in my mouth if the Pelicans got this. And so they have to go down there thinking no excuses, you know, as they take on a shorthanded Pelicans team. And you mentioned it too. Brandon Ingram's banged up, even though he's not listed on the injury report. Alvarado suffered a little tweak the other day against the Lakers. And so I just feel like the Kings have the momentum going into this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the Pelicans haven't lost six in a row at home. Not a tremendous home court advantage, maybe not an advantage at all. They're better on the road than at home. And so I think this is an opportunity. And let's not forget, the Kings have been better on the road than at home. You know, they've had some of their best wins on the road at Minnesota, at Denver. And so can they go in there tonight and handle their business? That's why I'm optimistic about this Kings team tonight.
You're right, Kyle. No excuses. When Jay asked me for a song in a little bit, he always says, hey, what do you want to hear today? I'm going to ask for Alice in Chains, No Excuses, because you're absolutely right about that. Ingram looms as a big key because, as we know, you and I discussed it. You know, Willie Green sat him down at the end of the Laker game because he wasn't effective. All reports indicate Brandon Ingram was not happy about that at all. But the official word is he showed up early yesterday for shoot around. He's ready to go. And they will probably need him to be the Brandon Ingram we all think we know to win tonight. However, as you know, Drapes, there was a game where Zion didn't play against the Kings. Ingram played, but he was more of a distributor. He didn't have a big night, and they still won that game. So it's this series is it, and this matchup, it is hard to figure.
It is hard to figure. And, you know, I look at what Brandon Ingram was able to accomplish against the Kings this season, close to 25 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. The thing that I don't like, he shot 56% from 3 against us. 53% overall. We got to defensively make life a little more difficult for the Pelicans. I feel like they've been able to get whatever they want and play free and play loose. We got to muck it up a little bit with them and make them earn their points. Because, and I go back to what Antonio Daniels said last week or a couple weeks ago, and you brought it up yesterday. Got to get off to a good start against this Pelicans team because they already come in confident that they can beat you. If they get up 12, 14, 16, then they're playing loose and free. They're laughing and smiling and joking. It's hard to turn them off. And so we got to hit them first tonight.
Yeah, I don't know what you're thinking as far as the matchups. I thought it was pretty clear. You know, and the Kings will throw a lot of different looks at them. I figure, well, you got Keon on McCollum and you got Keegan on Ingram at least to start. But I'm hearing and I'm reading things about, Keon on Ingram, and I don't know about that. I mean, maybe
I don't
a little
like
bit.
That.
Yeah. But the point is, no matter who's guarding whom, it should be easier than it is without Zion out there. Because as we discussed yesterday, Zion puts pressure before the game even starts. Like the Kings' defense is already compromised because basically they don't have anybody who can guard him. And you don't have to worry about that tonight.
Yeah. And you know, he's the unmatchable guy. Like Brandon Ingram, you know, with the 7'3 wingspan that he has, is tough to guard, obviously. That's why I wouldn't put Keon Ellis on it. I think Keegan Murray has to get the assignment.
Yeah.
Or they may go Harrison Barnes. I necessarily don't like that. I'd rather it be Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Keon Ellis should be on CJ McCollum, as far as I'm concerned.
I
like,
know.
That's the matchup. To me, that's clear as day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the matchup. But without Zion, you know, Zion's like the human cheat code. Think about this, Whitey. The Lakers had LeBron James, 6'9", 260, whatever it is. He still dropped 40 on them. We don't have anybody like that that can body up a Zion, that can stay in front of a Zion, that could deal with his physicality and his muscle. And so the fact that he's out, that's a big, big disadvantage for the Pelicans. And so you're right. And let me also add, not only does it help take away others, you know, CJ and Brandon Ingram, you can help out a little bit more, but it saves you on the other end offensively because you're not working as hard defensively with that load known as Zion Williamson.
Sounds like you went on the wagon with me and Jay. The win.
No, I've
wagon.
Always been on the dude. They signed my checks. I'm always on the wagon with the Kings. I never doubted the Kings. I'm just not going to be waving my rally towels and booking my flight to OKC until the game is over.
That first game, by the way, would be Sunday, and then the next game would be Wednesday. But you know, getting ahead of ourselves
not that
a little
you're
bit.
You're looking ahead,
right?
You're not looking ahead at all.
First game in SAC would be a week from tomorrow. But hey, come on, let's slow down here a little bit. As many big games as you've seen and broadcast for us, how much of a game like tonight comes down to you got to execute, you got to play well, and how much of it is just having the right frame of mind, in your opinion, coming into the game?
Yeah, you know, I think when a team has beaten you five times, frame of mind is important. Like, you got to go in there with the belief you can win. You got to go in there ready to embrace the moment, ready to take on the challenge. You have to go on there with a chip on your shoulder and say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm not going to let this happen anymore. And so I do think the Kings having the right frame of mind is important, because if you're scared, if you're down in the dumps, oh man, we got to play these guys again, you've already lost the game. And so I do think the mental aspect is important. But also, when you look at what happened the other night against the Warriors, the Kings had the right mental approach, but they also executed as well. And so I think both, you know, at this level, Whitey, this stage of the season, you got to have both. You're not just going, you know, somebody's not going to just give you a game or anything like that. And especially a do or die situation, even an 8 to 10 point Kings lead is not safe right now. This has to be another full 48 like we saw the other night.
I'd like to think that the Kings as a team are maturing in this respect. As you say, you have to have the right frame of mind. Sometimes in big games, a younger team or a team that's not as experienced in those games, sometimes they can get so focused on the emotion and effort that it makes it more difficult. It distracts you from the focus you need to execute. And against the Warriors, the Kings had both. They came with the right intensity and they executed. They were able to focus. And I'd like to think they found something in that regard after everything they've been through this year, everything they went through last year in the postseason. So fingers crossed on that. Bottom of the hour, Ian Eagle, who has a call tonight for TNT, he's going to join us. And we're coming right back at you today with Drapes Takes next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Kings win tonight. They are in the postseason. Isn't that tremendous? Especially after all we've been through this year and all the doubting that, I'll just speak for myself, all the doubting I know I've done. I thought, yeah, once they didn't get anything done at the deadline, I thought, that's playing team. And yeah, playing team. But right now, they're on the verge of being the playoff team. Kyle Draper in San Francisco. How about this, Drapes? Before we get to Drape Stakes in just a second, Davion Mitchell said of the Pelicans, he said, quote, in the regular season, they kept beating us. They kind of just had our number and were talking trash the whole time. So we're looking forward to it.
I love that. I love that Davion and Keon and all those guys are aware of that. Like, now you got to go out and do something about it. Whitey, we've been saying that. The Pelicans are laughing, talking trash. Willie Green's making, you know, like, enough is enough. We got to shut these guys up. And so when you talk about the mindset, that's why it's so important. Sure, we need the execution, but you got to have the right mindset. Like, they should be pissed off right now at the Pelicans. You know, anytime a team beats you 5-0, that's one thing. But the way they've done it and the way they've conducted their business, guys laughing and joking, nah, that doesn't sit well with me. And so this is a pride matchup tonight for our Sacramento Kings.
So what's Drape's frame of mind right now? Let's find out. It's time for Drape's Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Kings fans, it's your boy Drape. So I'm going to start off with a message to the players, to the organization, to the ownership, to the front office, to the front office staff, to the cheerleaders, to everybody involved with the Sacramento Kings. Tonight will make or break our season. I think tonight's game will decide whether or not we consider this a successful season. And so do you want to go into the offseason, Whitey, thinking about the what ifs? Man, I wish Monty McNair would have made some trades at the trade deadline. I wish Mike Brown would have used this guy a little earlier. I wish Monty McNair would have signed somebody else or made some trades. No, leave all that behind. Come out, win tonight. And no matter what happens the next round, Whitey, you can enjoy an offseason knowing that you are trending in the right direction. I hate to say this, and maybe this is too much hyperbole. Maybe it's frustrated Drapes, anxious Drapes coming out right now, Whitey. But if they don't win tonight, could it be a lost season? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, because we're supposed to be building on what happened last season, and to miss the playoffs, basically you become Trae Young in the Atlanta Hawks.
Yep.
We don't want that. We want to be firmly in the playoffs year in and year out. Next year, going into next year, we want to be the team that everybody says, watch out for the Kings. They're going to make a major move up the standings. If we miss the playoffs, We're not going to have that kind of belief in us going into the season. And so we got to win this game tonight.
Yeah, win tonight validates the whole season for not just the team and the coaches, for the organization. You win tonight, it's like, wow, there you go. You're on track. You lose tonight, and it's a whole different question.
Yeah, you're right. And CK916 corrected me. The Kings don't have cheerleaders anymore. You're right. You're right. The dance team I'm talking about. I'm talking about the dance team right now. All right, my second Drapes take has to do with the number 4 overall pick. I'm looking at you, Keegan Murray. I know you're in the hotel room right now watching Sactown Sports on the YouTube chat. Keegan Murray, guys, tonight is going to be the key to this game. And let me tell you why. De'Aaron Fox is going to have his hands full with Herb Jones. Domantas Sabonis is going to be wrestling with Valanciunas. But Keegan Murray, to me, is the guy that can exploit his matchup. Whether he's guarded by Brandon Ingram, whether he's guarded by Trey Murphy, those guys are long, athletic guys, but they aren't lockdown defenders. And so I think Keegan Murray has the opportunity to actually have 25 or more points tonight. He has to grab the bull by its horns. Seize the day. What do they say? Carpe diem, Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. Tonight is your night. Because if we're looking for De'Aaron Fox to go out there and get 40, it is possible, but that's a lot of work we're asking him. I think the advantage we have tonight is at the Keegan Murray position.
These are the games that raise the profiles of players and raise the status of players. And I can remember in the past, Kings facing games like this where they were getting ready to play in an elimination game, you know, Shaq and Kobe or Kevin Garnett. And now you got the Pelicans and they don't have Zion. So, you know, I know this Kings team isn't as good as the C-Web teams, but to your point, Keegan, De'Aaron Fox, Domas, it's their night to show. You know what? We belong. You're not as good as we are. And they got to show them that and prove it tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Here's my final take. There's one guy I don't want to hear nothing from tonight. I don't want him tweeting after the game. I don't want him doing any post-game interviews. I don't want him putting his ear up to the crowd. I don't want him getting any steals. Jose Alvarado cannot have an impact on this game, Whitey. He is a thorn in our side. He's a pest. He's an agitator. We got to put this guy in his place tonight. You know, he lurks in the backcourt, hides in the corner, and then comes and gets the steal. We have to nullify that guy because I believe when you look at this Pelicans team, Alvarado is the heart and soul of this team. He had 4 threes the last time we played. He had a major impact. We got to limit this guy. I know they're without Zion. I know they got some stars in CJ and Brandon Ingram. But Jose Alvarado is the guy that actually ignites the crowd, gets them fired up, especially without Zion out there tonight.
Yeah, it was one of the games this year between the two teams, third or fourth game, I think. And it was here. And De'Aaron Fox got his pocket picked by Alvarado. That was my most frustrating moment of the whole year because, hello, that's what he does. De'Aaron, how could you forget that? So, yeah, you're absolutely right. He can have a nice, 3 points tonight and 2 assists. Be like, all right,
He can have 3 or 4 steals. And it goes back to the mental part that you just talked about earlier. You know that's what Jose Alvarado does. Trust me. That's on the scouting report. The coaches talk about it. And if you allow him to do that, that means you lost focus out there.
Yeah.
You cannot lose focus out there tonight if you're the Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. Can I give a bonus Drapes take?
What do you think, Jay?
Get it in there. Let me say this real quick before the Drapes take. Tony G, the Pelicans radio guy, was on the morning show today, and he said Alvarado's being held together with glue and tape, man.
Really?
Like he's not coming in 100% healthy.
All right.
Just saying.
That's good. Hey, we need to rip that duct tape off.
Yes, we do.
You know what I mean? We need to pull him apart. Alvarado should not have an impact. And I want to say something about my guy, Mike Brown. Mike, this is a message to him. Please don't use your challenge in the first 30 seconds. Don't use your challenge in the first, unless you're damn sure you're going to get it right. When he did that the other night against the Warriors, I'm like, no, Mike,
he was
what
right.
Are you doing?
He was
you
right.
Know? But he got it right, Whitey. But in an elimination game, you got to be 100% sure, Mike Brown. Mike, you got to be on point tonight. I'm talking with the challenges. I'm talking with the timeouts. I'm talking with the substitutions as well. He has to hit all the right buttons tonight, Whitey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see about the defensive rotations, how quickly they move away from something if it's not working, how often they shake things up a little bit tonight.
Yeah, and you know, the one guy I'm worried about, Brandon Ingram. You know, Alvarado, I talked about him. But how do we defend Brandon Ingram? That's going to be key tonight. Is it Keegan Murray? Is it Harrison Barnes? Are we running a double at him? Are we playing some zone? Like, defensively, what are we going to do against a guy like Brandon Ingram, who has struggled since coming back? We know that. But he has the potential to go off for 30 to 40 very easily against us, especially that elbow jumper. Mm-hmm. We got to nullify that tonight.
Yeah, you're right. But last couple games, he couldn't buy a basket if he found the wallet you lost at Hermosa Beach and found your credit card. You know, he's really struggling the last couple of nights. So hopefully the struggles continue.
Don't disrespect Brandon Ingram like that. He's listening to this show right now in the French Quarter in New Orleans getting ready for this game. Don't disrespect him. That's Drapes Takes. It's brought to you by Alsco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Alsco Uniforms.
Kings just got to rise to the occasion tonight, as the greats do, as apparently, according to our scouting report here on the YouTube chat, so apparently Kyle Draper did last night. I have reports that you scored 11 points last night, Drapes. Is that true?
No, that is false.
Oh, that's what Campio said, and I thought he knew what he was talking about.
Come on, don't trust him. Why don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
Don't fall for it. Yeah, Campio, come on, man.
Well, that's good. That would be really good.
He's in his mom's basement right now. Campio ain't seeing the light of day, checking out no real basketball. He ain't coming out there watching me put in work. I had a rough outing yesterday.
Okay.
Let me just say that.
It
was rough. You know what? I probably finished. I only had 6 points, first of all, fellas.
That ain't
I was like
bad.
Two of eight. Mm-hmm. The jumper was not falling last night, but I had like five or six assists, six rebounds. You know, I was on triple double watch for most of that game.
Stat stuffer. Triple double watch.
Triple double. Well, how about did you get the W?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Come on, man. I only play to win. We almost lost, though. It was 73-72. We won in overtime.
Wow.
We should have beat those guys by 30. You know what it was? We were up like 30-16.
Wow.
Pollygagging, you know, just feeling great. And then all of a sudden, the turnovers, the fouls, the missed shots, and the team came back. And at one point, they led 60-49.
Wow.
They went on a on a crazy run coming out of the halftime, but then we had to lock down and get back to how we played early on. And I will say, at the start of overtime, your boy was working the post like this, you know, like bang, bang. They sent the double, and I dished it like Magic Johnson, almost like magic, like this. If you see it on the YouTube chat, like that, for my teammate for the layup. To score the game's first overtime.
Left shoulder over the right shoulder. No look.
Yeah. I was like this, and he came, and I was like, bang, like that. So, yeah, we got the W, man.
Hey, like in the great words of Kevin Whitey Gleason, your offense will come around.
Well
I
done.
I will say this, though.
Yeah.
I will say this, though, real quick. I was probably the oldest guy on our team. I'm 49 years old. I'm getting up there in age. And it's two 22-minute halves. So 22-minute first half, 22-minute second half.
Oh, man.
And, of course, I started, right? You know, I got to be a starter. It was about 20 minutes and 36 seconds on the clock. I looked up, and I'm like, oh, my God, I haven't even been out here 2 minutes. Like, I was gassed. I got to get the conditioning up, fellas. Like, playing pickup ball versus playing an actual game, entirely different conditioning needed. That. So I need to work on that.
That makes what you did even more impressive, the fact that you were a little gassed last night. When we come back, we'll talk to the guys got the play-by-play on TNT tonight. The great Ian Eagle next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown. Don't give it away. Give it away. Give it away tonight. Don't give it away. Take care of the basketball tonight. Kyle Draper is in San Francisco getting ready for his NBC Sports Bay Area pre- and post-game duties. Whitey Gleason here in our Sacramento studios. Our next guest has a call tonight on TNT. Legendary play-by-play broadcaster. First of all, Ian Eagle, welcome to the show. Congrats on the Nets hiring of Jordy Fernandez. You're going to love him. And also, more importantly, congrats on the successful completion of your first season as a lead TV announcer for the NCAA men's tournament. How much did you enjoy that, Ian?
Oh, boy, it was an absolute blast. Guys, I've only had two hurricanes today, so I'm feeling very good, prepared, ready. I've walked the streets of New Orleans. I am lathered up and ready for this play in action, but much appreciated. Thank you for the kind words, and it was really enjoyable. I just had a lot of fun over the course of the weekend in Phoenix.
Great.
Great, Ian Eagle joining us. Ian, it's Kyle here. As you get ready for tonight's game between the Pelicans and the Kings, no Zion tonight. I'm sure you've spoken to the coaches and the players maybe already. What's the sense you get from the Pelican side of things about what's at stake for them tonight?
They're saying all the right things. The general feeling in the city is that the Zion absence definitely takes a real piece out of their hopes and whatever motivation that they had of being a real factor in the postseason this year. If they were to win this game, we know it would be a matchup against Oklahoma City, the number one seed in the Western Conference. Zion would probably not be a part of that series. They're looking at 2 weeks before they can do any imaging again. Hamstring issue, which he had a problem with last year, was the other leg. He missed the last 43 games of the season last year. I don't believe this is nearly as serious as what he went through a year ago, but it's tricky, as we know, when it comes to that particular injury. So, to a man, they're handling it the right way. Clearly, they've performed without him in the past. This particular year, he played 70 games and was playing the best basketball of his career. We saw it in that LA game, 40 points, 11 rebounds. They could not stop him. He was also very committed defensively against LeBron James. So it's a big hit, but you still want to make the playoffs. You still want to validate your season. So they're locked in trying to get that done, and then they'll worry about the next step once they get through this in their eyes.
Catching up with Ian Eagle on Sackdown Sports. Quick two-parter for you, Ian, if I may. One, what percentage of NBA games now come down to, well, it depends who makes the most threes. And two, isn't a beignet really just a glorified donut hole? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Let me take number two first, because it's very fresh in my mind. I grew up in New York. I grew up in Queens on the mean streets of Forest Hills, and we had a number of pizza places there. And in those pizza places, they had a delicacy called a Zeppoli, which was basically what you mentioned, Whitey, which is, you know, more or less a donut hole, and then they would pour some sugar on it.
Yeah.
And you would get a rush. You would feel it hit your bloodstream on the first bite. And that's more or less what a beignet is. I've bought in when we started coming to New Orleans. I just automatically had this feeling like, all right, I've got to go get them.
Yes, I've got to go get
the beignet. And then, I don't know, maybe the fifth year, the sixth year, the muscle memory of it. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm just eating a donut hole. I can do that anytime. So with you. I have not gone now in a number of years. So I'm glad we tackled number two first. Number one, I have no recollection of what you asked on the front side.
Three-pointers. How many games now these days? It just comes down to who throws in the most threes. Yeah.
I mean, look, you guys saw it firsthand, the 18 of 39 from three-point range against Golden State, dominant performance by Sacramento. The fact of the matter is it's the name of the game, and that's how coaches view it. Most analytics people will tell you the same thing, that this is the way to win. New Orleans shot 9 of 30 from three-point range against L.A., and they lost 110 to 106. Now, they probably lost because Zion Williamson left the game with 3:13 to go. But it is part and parcel with success at this level. There are some teams that don't completely buy in, and I've noticed that they'll curtail some of that philosophy based on their personnel and based on maybe what's happening in the game. But there's no getting around it. We're in a new age in the NBA, and I don't see it changing. It's funny, during the NCAA tournament, a lot of questions in regards to Zach Edey and how he fits in and what team's going to give him a chance. And the reality is he doesn't fit with the modern NBA, but there might be a coach slash GM slash talent evaluator that says, you know what? Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to try to see if there's a way in which to turn that into a success and go against what the trends have been in the league and go back to a traditional big, at least maybe as part of your second unit. But I don't see it changing anytime soon, honestly.
Ian, you know, obviously you've called games for years, big games, championship games. You know, as I look at this matchup, I think, yes, the stars have to perform. But how often do these games, you think, come down to the role players? Somebody maybe not as high on the scouting report having a memorable game.
Oh, yeah, you nailed it, Kyle. And I know you've been around it your whole career as well. You go into these matchups with the knowledge that the headliners are often the ones that take up your space in the open and in your early commentary. And then the game evolves into something else. And, you know, let's take Keon Ellis as an example. I know you guys talked about him quite a bit. It's a great story. I had a bunch of Alabama games when he was there, and he was a nice player, but he was not earmarked for NBA success. That's a prime example of the right team, the right opportunity, and the right development coming together, and now a player that could have a 10, 12-year NBA career that was an afterthought coming out of college. He was a JUCO guy. He had to develop his jump shot. He was always committed on the defensive end, but he really locked in on improving his skills, finding his niche. And probably without the Kevin Huerter injury, we're not seeing this from Keon Ellis. But what has it done? It's triggered their defense. It has started now a new vibe around this team. They're more committed defensively, and I think Keon Ellis has been a big reason why, unlocking that part of who they are. And it's not a knock on Kevin Huerter. It's just sometimes you don't know what the magic ingredient is. So if this team does go to the playoffs and they win tonight, I personally believe Keon Ellis is going to play a huge role in that. What he's doing on the defensive end is real and it's tangible.
Ian Eagle has the call tonight on TNT. Ian, every time we have seen the Pelicans so far this year, they have looked great. I mean, they've looked like 86 Celtics, nah. You know, Jordan's Bulls, nah. And I know, I mean, they look tremendous. I know they're not that good, but as good as they've looked against the Kings, how come they've struggled so much at home this year? I can't figure it out.
Yeah, it's odd. There's no doubt about it. This is an outlier. You just look at numbers and just go through history in the NBA. If you're an elite team, you, if not dominate on your home floor, you certainly take care of business on your home floor. Last six games have been losses at home, so that's been very strange in and of itself. They're 21-19 at home this season. They're just over 500. Think about it. They wouldn't even be in this situation if they just got a couple of home wins down the stretch. They would have qualified in the sixth spot, and they wouldn't be facing a play-in scenario like they're facing tonight, their second play-in game. So it does defy all of the odds of what we've learned in the NBA. There's no real reason for it other than you can start getting into home court advantages and whether or not you feel that. In my estimation, this is not been a bad home court. There have been years when AD was on the team. I did playoff games here, playoff series against Portland, where it was really loud. I'm going to say this right now and at least get it out of the way because of the viewing audience later. There is a woman in New Orleans that screams at the top of her lungs, and you can hear her on the air. She's there basically every game. I've never been able to identify her, but I know she's there. So if you hear shrieking at some point during the game tonight, you're going to remember, oh, yeah, Ian mentioned her. She's there, and you can't avoid it. She knows where the microphones are.
Wow, the banshee of the Smoothie King. Yeah.
That's something else to look for tonight, though. So I appreciate that. That's good stuff. I when you look at the playoffs, I look at the Western Conference and how tough it's going to be to come out of that for whoever it is, whether it's Minnesota, OKC. Does Boston have an advantage in the East? Like, is it theirs to lose this year?
You would think so. I mean, just the way that the Eastern Conference is lining up, Milwaukee is down. And the Knicks are not whole, but they're going to have a really challenging first-round matchup against Philadelphia and Cleveland. We know that if it doesn't go well this year, there's a pretty good chance that they're going to break up that team. And Orlando is an upstart, so you have no idea how they're going to handle their first real foray into the postseason. Indiana, fun offensively, gets up and down the floor. They look to push it. They look to shoot the three, as we talked about earlier. But again, we don't know collectively how they're going to deal with a potential playoff run. So with all of that said, Boston is head and shoulders above everybody else in the Eastern Conference. Just look at the difference in games, win total, between the one spot and the two spot in the East. And then look at the Western Conference and the difference in win total between the one spot and where the Sacramento Kings are. There just wasn't a huge difference in the West. Everybody was really good, highly competitive. Oklahoma City worthy of a number one seed, but again, first trip in this type of terrain. Denver, defending champions, have to respect them. Minnesota had the one seed seemingly for the majority of the season, dealt with injuries. Now they're back and healthy again, a team that believes they have a chance to do some special things. And now we can just keep going down the list in the Western Conference. It's stacked. So everything you mentioned, Kyle, is real, but you know this because you know it from personal experience. In Boston, I'm not sensing overconfidence from that fan base. If anything, it's a hesitancy because they don't want to fully commit and believe that it's going to happen. There's been a weird angle there, at least from the people that I've talked to, of not quite buying in that this is the year. They know it's supposed to be the year, but they're not allowing themselves to quite go there yet.
All right, Mr. Bagels and Baseball, you're the best. Now everybody knows that. For a while, not everybody knew it. Now we all do. Congratulations again on the tournament, and we look forward to your call tonight. Most of all, thank you for joining us today, Ian.
Oh, always a pleasure. Great being on with you guys, and we'll do it again. Hopefully this is just the start of something for Sacramento, and we'll see if there's some more appearances down the road.
There you go. Thank you, Ian. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
Thanks, okay. Great. Ian Eagle. How about that? On the beignets and the donut holes. Yes, sir.
You knew he was a New York guy and would say that. You set him up for that. You knew that was going to happen. Come on.
Honestly, Kyle, I thought he'd go, look, I got people from New Orleans watching tonight. I'm not going to say anything disparaging about a beignet. But he went all in. Good
you know
him.
What? I know we're going to have Jason Ross on with us a little bit ago. I'm going to tell him to bring me back some beignets when he comes back home. He's down there in New Orleans. So
you probably like those, what, oatmeal raisin beignets? Is that what you like? The oatmeal raisin?
Oatmeal raisin beignets? That's terrible.
Yes, that's not a good idea. When we come back, who do the experts like tonight? That's next here with the Drive Guys on Sac. I got to tell you, present company accepted, of course. Ian Eagle's my favorite basketball broadcaster, and every time we talk to him, he's more my favorite. So he's just fun. He likes to have fun a little bit, Kyle. You know, I think.
Oh yeah, he's my favorite also. Did you hear about his son Noah? Also, I should have asked him about Noah becoming play-by-play announcer for NBC Olympic basketball coverage.
Wow. Okay, I didn't realize that. Oh yeah, we could have asked him. I knew he was. I asked him one time years ago what it was like to have your son, you know, want to do what you do. And he was like, it's a pretty cool feeling. But, man, that family's having a year,
that's
aren't they?
Huge.
Wow.
Right? Exactly. Seeing if he could adopt me or something so I could get some of that good luck, those good genes. My gosh.
Yeah. Hey, I did the NCAA. That's great, Dad, but I'm doing the Olympics. Man.
The Olympics.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man. That family is killing it right now.
Isn't it interesting, Kyle, now to hear guys like Ian Eagle and all the national guys we bring on, Brian Anderson this week, and they're all talking about Keon Ellis, right? Because you know that, you know, last summer, and I know it's their job to know these players, but no one really knew Keon Ellis. And now he's a national thing. You talk about the Kings, you got to talk about Keon Ellis.
The fact that Ian said a 10 to 12 year NBA career. Like,
yeah.
This is a guy that was a two-way guy.
Yeah.
Hoping to just hang on to the team, make the team. And now he's being penciled in as a 10 to 12 year veteran, man. And it's a fantastic story. And I tell you, it couldn't happen to a better dude. Keon Ellis is class act all the way, man. He's one of my favorites on the team.
Yeah, and it's no coincidence.
I didn't ask to be thrown in.
He didn't ask to be thrown into this, but it's no surprise that whatever happens, he just has that look like, yeah, you know, he is unflappable is the word that comes to mind. But with him, you could see that's never been an act. I remember after he started and then, you know, he's talking to the media that night. He's just like, yeah, I'll probably get some texts, you know, from people back home. But we got another game in two nights. And it was like, it was 100% genuine.
Yeah. And I wonder, man, because he projects this calmness, this cool. He got to be, like, anxious on the inside, right? Like, I'm nervous watching him sometimes, like, Keon Ellis, big game. Like, and he's just so cool and even-keeled. And, you know, I love his relationship with Mike, too. Because how many times have we seen Mike Brown yelling, Keon, Keon, Keon?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he comes over, they have a talk. He's like, yes, you know. He's very coachable also, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. That was just a few games ago. He was yelling at him, and then I think Doug was out there, or Barbosa was out there, and Keon's like this, and that's like, no big deal. All right, fine. Here are what the experts say about tonight. These are the experts from The Athletic. All right, so there's six of these experts that were asked who's going to win tonight. We have from The Athletic, Andrew Schlecht. He went Pelicans. We have...
No.
From The Athletic, Jason Jones. Of course, Jason Jones.
Yeah.
Sacramento Kings.
Sacramento.
Dan Santaromita. Sacramento Kings. Richard Deitch. You may know Richard Deitch is a great TV writer, TV sports writer. Sacramento Kings.
Let's go, Sacramento.
Dave Dufour. Sacramento Kings.
Sacramento will take y'all.
Sam Vicini, who does a lot of NBA stuff. Sacramento Kings.
Sacramento, so there, ain't nothing to be worried about.
There you go. Well done, Jay. So six experts in The Athletic go Kings. Then we also have even Hollinger says, if the Kings win, he says they will go six games against OKC. He says, if the Pelicans win, he says they'll go five. So it's like he's kind of, even for him, that's a Kings compliment. That's saying a lot for him. Yeah, exactly.
That's saying a lot for John Hollinger to give us at least going to six games. Man, I thought he'd say we were going to get swept or something like that.
Uh-huh.
How about that? A national publication, a national site.
Yeah.
Giving much love to the Sacramento Kings.
Love The Athletic. There's a reason.
Right. Those are our guys over there.
Yeah. I just hope it's not a case of where so many people who don't really know that much about it just look at it and go, well, no Zion. Even Draymond's like, no Zion, they have no chance.
That's what you and Jay been saying, though, all week. What are you talking about?
No walking back white. That's what I'm saying. No. I'm standing on the drapes. I ain't running from it.
You're right. You're 100% right. You're 100%
right. You sounded like John Hollinger right now, man. That's no good.
We got Whitey Hollinger and Carmichael Drapes. No, I don't know how closely some of these people follow it. Obviously, Jason Jones follows it very closely. No, Zion makes a monumental difference tonight. You're right, Jay. What am I talking about?
Right. No, it does. Let's be honest. It really does, because he's the human cheat code. He's the guy that nobody in the league has figured out how to stop. You know, when he's right and he's being aggressive, he is just a nightmare. And now you take him out of that. CJ's been struggling the last couple of games,
mm-hmm.
or at least last game against the Lakers. I feel like, too, Jay and Whitey, I'm a huge CJ fan, but I feel like if you throw Keon Ellis on him, you could bottle him up. You know, I don't think, you know, CJ, he'll probably have his 15 to 20, but he's not going off for 40 to 35. You know, he's going to be 5 of 18 tonight or 6 of 17. And, you know, I feel like you can guard him one-on-one. A guy like Zion, man, your whole team has to pay attention to him. And so without him, like we said, now Keon can lock down CJ. Maybe you shade a little help on Brandon Ingram, and it makes the life more difficult for all the other guys.
Yeah, they're a lot easier to guard without the big beignet in there. When we come back, it's all about who makes the most threes tonight, right? Oh, New Orleans is really good at defending the three-point line. Well, are they? Next year with the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.